Good morning, friends. Welcome to another episode of Averagely Speaking. I have a completely random set of topics to cover today, so let's just go ahead and jump right in. First off, before I get into my new topics, I did want to clarify something that I mentioned in my last episode because I feel like it could be construed as confusing, and so I just wanted to set the record straight of, I guess, where I was coming from. So I was talking last week about how I have zero desire to be famous in any capacity, and I kind of like to be under the radar, which I realize may be counterintuitive to somebody who is currently talking to a podcast or currently working on a podcast that obviously has the intent of people listening and getting to know me as a person. And I guess what I meant in not wanting to be famous is it's really more of a recognition thing, like a physical recognition, meaning if I go to the grocery store or I'm at the airport or something like that, I wouldn't want anyone to recognize me and know who I am. I feel like that's where I get a little bit scared and like socially conscious, but from the perspective of having like a podcast where maybe you know my name because it's associated with the podcast name, but you wouldn't know who I was if I was just like out on the streets, you know, strolling down a downtown or something like that, or getting gas or whatever it is. So I hope that makes sense. I really meant like I wouldn't want, you know, any kind of paparazzi photos or, you know, things like that. Like, again, more of that kind of physical recognition. I kind of like to go under the radar in that sense. But if people knew me as a person in the terms of like, oh, this is Lindsay, she does a podcast and here's the thing she talks about, that I'm totally fine with. Hopefully that makes sense. It makes sense to me. But anyway, just wanted to circle back on that really quickly. Okay, so there's a couple of different things I wanted to talk about today. Actually, it's kind of like two big topics and then a couple of random things at the end here. So the first thing I wanted to chat about is my workout journey. So it's been a journey for sure. I feel like probably since I was, let's say since I turned 30, so almost the last decade, I've had a pretty normal amount of exercise and movement in my routine. I would say before that, I really didn't do a lot of exercise. I used to run kind of sporadically in my 20s, but nothing really consistent. I was a little bit overweight at times and just certainly not as healthy as I feel like I am now. And as I get older and older, I really try to put more focus on being healthier. Not so much like, oh, I want to be this specific weight. I don't want to be gangly thin or anything like that, but I just want to be healthy. So I've been really focusing on that as I've gotten older, and my kind of big goal for myself for my 39th year, so I guess, or my 40th year, the last year before I turned 40, I wanted to get myself into the best shape that I could so that I feel really good going into the next decade of my life. And to me, that just means really working on my fitness, building up some strength, building up my endurance, just really incorporating a lot of movement into my day-to-day life so that I feel fit, strong, healthy, competent, all those kinds of things. And then also making some better choices in terms of nutrition and really in the sense of adding more nutritious choices to my diet versus taking things out, because I have tried over the years every single thing. I mean, I'd say every day of my life for the last 20 years, I've been on some sort of kind of diet, if you will, and nothing ever works for me. If I restrict too much, then I will binge. And so I feel like I've kind of settled with, I'm going to still eat the things I want to eat. If I want ice cream, okay. If I want cookies, great. If I want chips, yes. But what I want to do is make sure I'm eating more vegetables, more fruits, more whole grains, more sources of protein, all those kinds of things to balance out those poorer choices, just so that I feel like, again, I've kind of got that health aspect taken care of, and then I can still have fun and, you know, enjoy treats along the way without feeling guilty about it. So all that to be said, I'll probably talk a lot about my workout and fitness and health journey on this podcast as I learn. And I should say I did recently pass my personal trainer's certificate course. So I am technically a certified personal trainer now. It was an online course that I took. You have to do a bunch of reading and quizzes and things like that, and then take a final exam, and then you get this certificate. And I mainly did it because I was curious in the learning aspect so that I could apply those methodologies and such to myself. It's always nice to have in case I did ever want to take clients on as like a little side hustle or something. But mainly I just took all of the stuff that I learned in that course and have been slowly trying to apply it to my fitness regimen. And I will say I'm definitely still struggling a bit with trying to get into more of that strength building, strength training routine. It's the type of workout that I don't like as much, and so it's harder for me to motivate myself to do it. So I'm slowly getting better at that. But what I've been really, really good at, and I'm so proud of myself about, is my walking. So I was there was about 8 months where I was in between jobs and had a lot of free time on my hands. This was from last May until the end of the year, basically. And because I had so much free time, I spent a lot of time walking, whether on my treadmill inside or just exploring the kind of nooks and crannies of my neighborhood. I just was getting a lot of steps on a regular basis. And then the second that I went back to a corporate job, it drastically dipped. I just was finding I didn't have the time or the motivation or the energy to get my steps in. And so I like immediately felt the impacts. I just physically felt worse for the wear. I wasn't burning as many calories. It just was not feeling good to me. And it just so happened that right around the corner, my company was doing a steps challenge. And so I decided to join that. It didn't really mean anything other than just kind of personally trying to increase your steps. But I like having little goals and challenges like that. And so that really motivated me to make sure that I was like trying hard to get my steps in, even if I didn't have as much time or I was tired or whatever. And so it kind of averaged out at about 12,000 steps a day. And I decided that that was just the perfect amount for me. Now, I definitely have days where I go much higher than that. Maybe I'm at 20,000 steps or 25,000 steps given the day. And I have days that I'm lower than that. So maybe I only do 4,000 steps that day. And that's perfectly fine. I think that's why I like averaging things out over time, because not every day is going to be as you want it to be, and you need rest and things like that. And so I definitely recommend going for averages there. But like I said, 12,000 just seemed to be a good amount for me. That generally turns out to be an hour of dedicated walking, again, either outside or on the treadmill, and then just daily activities. So I'd say about 6,000 steps of forced, kind of like planned walking, and then 6,000 steps of just like doing life. And yeah, I just really feel a lot stronger. I feel tighter, if that makes sense. I definitely notice that my energy output is higher, which again is good for me because it allows me to have some treats here and there and not, you know, gain a bunch of weight. And yeah, I just really like it. The other thing that I noticed is, again, because I'm back in a corporate job and that requires a lot of time sitting at a desk, I'm really trying to be aware of and proactive with getting up to take breaks and, you know, just walking down the long hallway in the office if I'm in the office, or doing some sort of quick task around the house if I'm at home, just to get moving. Because as I get older, I definitely feel that sitting for too long does not do good things to my body. I really genuinely feel like the Tin Man. Like if I sit for too long, when I get up, I'm like creaking and I'm tight and I can't move and I feel like I need to stretch. And so I feel like if I get up more often, it is just better for my body and I don't get that like Tin Man state. So yeah, I think, again, I'll continue to talk about my fitness journey, in particular more of the circuit strength training and things like that. But I guess that's what's been successful for me thus far in 2025, and I hope that I can keep that up. Okay, so the next thing I want to talk about, which is kind of related, is protein. So I know everyone is talking about protein, has been talking about protein for the last couple years here, and it's something that I have personally been, again, on a journey with to align with my fitness journey, because as most people probably know, especially if you're doing strength training and things like that, you have to make sure you're consuming enough protein to see any benefits. Because if you just did a bunch like big workout of lifting weights and things like that, and you've not consumed any protein that day, then you're not going to build any more muscle. So yeah, I've been trying to consume more protein. It's a little bit more challenging for me because I am a vegetarian and I definitely tend to eat more plant-based than just vegetarian. So if I can, I'd like to eat consume no animal products. But I do still eat some things like cottage cheese and Greek yogurt because it's just a really easy source of protein for me. But one thing that I have been really successful at recently is protein stacking, or at least that's what I'm calling it. I don't know if there's a technical term, but basically just trying to add little bits of protein in a meal to add up to the total amount that I'm looking for, because I don't necessarily want to sit down and eat a bowl of straight up tofu, like a large amount of tofu, just because that gets me to my protein amount. It's not satisfying to me. I need more flavors and textures and variety and things like that. And so I've been trying to take more of a protein stacking approach where I'm just like, again, using a bunch of different ingredients that may have a lot or a little bit of protein, and then together you get that collective protein goal. So for example, I eat a lot of smoothie bowls. I love smoothie bowls, and I've been making them at home for the last couple of years versus going to buy them because they're so expensive when you go to the stores. But anyway, so I was making one the other day and I was thinking like, oh, this is a great example of protein stacking. Now, I am not a nutritionist or a dietitian or anything like that, so this is just my personal opinion and how I do things. So I don't know if this is correct or recommended, but again, just this is what I've been doing. So for example, in this smoothie bowl that I made the other day, so I start off with, obviously you've got to make some sort of base. And so I usually use a protein milk, or protein powder. So, you can, like, there's a hemp milk that I've been getting from Thrive Market that I think has like 5 grams of protein per cup. So you can do something like that. They've got the little like, oh my gosh, I can't remember what they're called, but they're like a Ripple brand milk, like little like individual packs. Those have a ton of protein in them. Or you could just do like regular almond milk or something like that and then mix in a protein powder. So that's kind of like adding protein to your base. You can also use things like Greek yogurt or cottage cheese. So maybe I'll do half a scoop of protein powder and then a quarter of a cup of Greek yogurt, or I'll do half a cup of cottage cheese and the protein milk or something like that. So kind of combining those in some sense, I'm getting a couple of different types of protein just in the base. And that's going to be kind of like the bulk of the protein for the most part. Regarding toppings, there's all sorts of things that you can do. And again, just each thing might have a little bit of protein in there. So for example, I usually use hemp seeds. Those are one of my most favorite things. They're an innocuous flavor and they actually add a fairly good amount of protein and other nutrients as well into whatever you're eating, whether savory or sweet. You could use a nut butter. Personally, I'm really into tahini over the last couple of years. I just like that like bitter taste to it. So again, that's got some protein in it. You can use even something like a protein granola or a protein cereal. There's tons of options now if you want like a little crunch to do that. You can add things like berries, which do in fact have a little bit of protein. So I guess what I'm saying is if you, again, add all these little things, you're getting that variety and it's exciting for you to eat, but each one adds a little bit of protein to it, then collectively you're going to get to that end goal much easier. So yeah, I think that can be applied to a bunch of different things, but I encourage you to give it a try. And then on the lines of food, I was talking with my sister and my mom about this the other day because we share a lot of recipe ideas, just things that we found on Pinterest or the news app or whatever it might be. And we were all lamenting about how annoying blog recipes are. And I look at a lot of blog recipes via Pinterest and stuff like that every single day. And it's really shocking to me that they're all so bad. And what I mean by bad is mainly the experience of reviewing or looking at this recipe. So I feel like every single person uses the same blog platform, I guess you could call it, where it's like these long pages and there's 8 million ads on there, which I understand because that's how they're making their money, but whatever, it's kind of annoying. And then you have to scroll like 8 miles down just to get to the recipe. It is the most irksome thing in the world to me. And I really am curious how many people actually read the entire story to get to the recipe. Like, how many people are genuinely curious about either how this person came up with the recipe, how they executed it, some sort of personal reason or story about some time that they made this and how they displayed it, whatever. Like, I'm just curious, like, does anyone actually care about that? Because I certainly do not. And it's just, it's so irksome. Like, I know, again, like, they're not making this for me specifically, so they can do whatever they want when they're posting this, but it's just a really unpleasant experience, and it just never gets less irritating. And I know that a lot of blogs have that little button that says jump to recipe, but half the time it doesn't work. I'll keep clicking it. Sometimes it will jump to somewhere that's not the recipe, and I don't know. The whole thing is just super annoying, but whatever. I get inspiration still, so it's okay. The other thing, and my sister was specifically talking about this, is that half the time the recipes aren't even fully vetted. Like, sometimes the ingredients are labeled or like listed incorrectly. Maybe they put the incorrect amounts. Sometimes they put the amounts in ways that are like illegible. I'm like, is that 1.5 cups? Is it 1 and 1.5 cups? Like, sometimes I cannot distinguish what they're trying to say. Sometimes they put ingredients like earlier in the story that they didn't put in the recipe, or vice versa. And a lot of the times the cooking instructions are totally off. Like, when it comes to baking things, I would say 98% of the time, it's not the same as what I have to do. I almost always have to cook my things for double the amount of time or just significantly longer than the person who wrote the recipe. And I just don't understand how it can be so off. And now I live at higher altitude, so I get that that's going to be a little bit different. But my mom and my sister live at sea level, and so their stuff should be presumably the same amount of baking time or cooking time as what the blog is saying, but nope, always super off. And I feel like half the time also the temperature that is suggested will just like fry my things. They're just singed, blackened immediately, and I'm like, how is this possible that for person A, theirs is cooked perfectly, and I try mine for half the amount of time, and it's blackened. It's just, it's so beyond. I don't understand why this is so difficult. It's akin to how nobody can get the weather correct. Like, how is it in 2025 we cannot accurately report or predict the weather, and we cannot accurately write recipes? It's just one of those things. It just really bothers me. But anyway, that is all I wanted to talk about for kind of food, health, kind of topics today. And then I had a couple of things I was thinking about over the week, and I thought I would add like a new little segment here, which is positive thoughts. And I wanted to do this because I personally struggle with positive thinking. A lot of the times I go through pretty significant swings of, you know, life is too hard and like just really kind of grasping for something good. And then, you know, things will kind of turn around and I'll have a better period of time. But I just thought it would be important to kind of really identify those little things that make life nice and make life worth it, and share those things, because I think there are a lot of things that are out there sprinkled throughout your day or your week. And sometimes it's hard to recognize them, or you might recognize it and then just kind of brush it off and, you know, forget about it and move on to your bad mood. But I try to always like really focus on these positive things because they're the things that get me through it. So the first thing that I wrote down is there anything cuter than a cat clinging to you and scrunching their claws into you as if they're like trying to get as close as physically possible? So my cat Poppy was kind of like perched, like kind of laying on my chest the other day, and she had her paws kind of clenched to my chest, if you will. Like, she was like kind of doing that little like milking paw bread making, whatever, the thing where they like do that with their claws. And she every once in a while would just kind of like curl her claws in as if to give me like a little hug. And it was just the sweetest thing, and I just love it so much. Because I feel like animals in general are like, they just want to love you, and they have no bad intentions. And I just think that that's such a nice thing to remember, that like love and happiness is out there and you just have to be looking for it. And then the other thing that I wrote was, is there anything better than the sound of a breeze or wind rustling leaves? So I was out walking, I think this was last weekend. It must have been last weekend. And, you know, it was February, or might have been March already, like very early March at the time. And, you know, so it's kind of middle of winter. There's not really that many leaves left on the trees here in Colorado, but there was enough of those kind of like dead leaves that hadn't fallen off in the fall, and there was a breeze, and so they were kind of like rustling, and I was just like, oh my gosh, that is like one of the best sounds to me. I just absolutely love that rustling sound, whether it's peak fall or middle of summer where everything's like bright and lush and there's kind of like different sounds based on the time of year. I just find it so lovely every single time. And I think I talked about this in my favorites video that I just personally love a breeze and a wind anyway. But when it's added with that sound, it's just like this moment of like, oh, like life is good. Everything's going to be okay. So, oh, and one other thing about that, that kind of made me start thinking about just being out in nature. And one of my most favorite movie scenes is from the, I think it's Sofia Coppola version of Marie Antoinette that Kirsten Dunst starred in. And this came out forever ago. But there's a scene where she's like out in the fields, like beyond her little cottage thing that's like her little like she shed, if you would, from back in the day. And it's like springtime or summertime and everything's beautiful and bright green and there's like beautiful white daisies around, and she's just like out frolicking in the sun with like baby lambs and things like that. And it's just the most peaceful looking, beautiful, serene, wonderful vibe that I wish that I could have so often. I think about this a lot. Like I wish that I was there in that field in that period of time where everything was still beautiful and there was like a lot less pollution and things like that. And yeah, I don't know. Sometimes it makes me kind of jealous, but I hope that there's still places out there like that, that, you know, you can still have that beauty and that peace and just like be one with the earth. So anyway, those are my positive thoughts of the week. And then for my stray thought of the week, I was thinking the other day about, I don't know how to say his name. I think it's Ian Rappaport. I don't know. But my stray thought is Ian Rappaport the meanest person in football? And for anyone who's an NFL follower, you probably know who this is. He like reports on things, and I actually don't know if he's football only or all sports, but I hear him talked about on a lot of podcasts and shows, and I've heard him interviewed in parts of shows and things like that, and he's just not a very nice person. Like he just always seems so rushed, so elitist, and kind of harsh in his words, and I don't know, he just doesn't seem nice. He seems kind of mean, and that is my stray thought of the week. So with that, I will close it out for today, but thank you as always for listening, and I hope you have a great day.